to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8 and in verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for this great blessing of not having to live under condemnation. Even though you have done that for us, sometimes we don't always live in that truth. I pray today that you'd open our eyes and our minds, and especially that of our heart, that this truth not only be academic, but it be a reality, and that we would walk in the truth that we're not in condemnation, but we're in grace, and we're in favor and blessing. And I ask you to do this, Holy Spirit, through my speaking and through our hearing, speak to my heart, and let us rejoice in the freedom that you've given us. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You know, speaking of our graduates, I am reminded of a science class. And in the curriculum, it had come time to talk about magnetism. So the teacher wondered, how can I present this? So he started the class off in this new section, and he asked the students, what is a six-letter word that starts with M that picks up things? And to his amazement, the class almost unanimously said, Mother! Mother is the magnet of all things, picking up everything from baby's dirty diapers to dad's dirty underwear. You may be asking yourself, now, well, what is this thing about mothers and magnets and condemnation have to do with anything? Well, you see, a mother's work is never done, is it? You know that old saying that a man works from sun to sun, but you can finish it, right? What is it? But a mother's work is what? Never done. What does that have to do with condemnation? You know why? Work can produce condemnation. Mothers, have you ever felt that these sayings were true, that you work from sun to sun and it's never done? You've never done enough. And it seems that sometimes, no matter how hard you work and how long you work, folks still aren't satisfied. Can I get a witness here? Ladies, can I get a witness? You don't have to raise your hand. You know, well, you can raise your hand today because there's no condemnation coming from your husband. He dare not in this sermon. Still, I've done that and I still can't please the kids. I still can't please my husband. You know what I'm talking about. And you work so hard and you have that desire within you to be approved, to be accepted and loved by your husband and your children. But the problem is works. And you can never work hard enough. And you can never work long enough to be accepted and approved and loved. But the good news is that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no room for condemnation amongst Christians. And therefore, mothers, today I've got some good news for you. God accepts you. God approves of you. And God loves you in Christ alone. Not husband, not children, not by making pancakes, not by vacuuming, not by cleaning the bathroom, not by even working an extra job outside the home. God accepts you, approves you, and loves you in Christ alone. And ain't that good news, ladies? And there's no condemnation. But when you try to earn that, you never can, And you're always under condemnation. Sometimes guilt. Well, maybe I hadn't done it. What if I had done this? And sometimes even in child rearing, mothers can have a burden of guilt and condemnation. Oh, my kids would have turned out better if I had only done this. Right? Anybody ever have those thoughts? If I only done that, if I had prayed more, if I had done this more, had done that more, even good things, maybe my kids would be better off today. I believe that a lot of mothers and a lot of women live under needless guilt and needless condemnation, and Christ has come to set us free, to break every yoke, every bondage, and let the captives go free, even mothers. You're free at last. You may not realize it, but thank God Almighty that through Jesus Christ, you are indeed free from condemnation. Now, Paul writes about condemnation, having gone through it himself, trying to earn God's acceptance, God's love. And even after being saved, he writes about it. Not just when he was a Pharisee, but as a Christian, he had to battle it. Come with me to Romans chapter 7. That's the chapter before 8, where he says there's no condemnation. And let's look at, beginning here, in verse 18. Notice what he says. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I desire to do good, but I cannot carry it out. Oh, I meant to make those muffins and make my family happy. Just didn't have the time. And you feel guilty about that sometimes. For what I do is not the good I want to do. Oh, I didn't get to the laundry. I didn't fold the clothes. Maybe this doesn't relate. And maybe all of y'all are free from guilt, shame, and condemnation. Says, I want to do good. No, the evil that I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Instead of washing dishes, I took a nap. And you feel guilty about that. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find that there's a law at work at me that when I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in the law of God, but I see another law at work in my members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and make me a prisoner to the law of sin that is at work within my members. And then he says, under feelings and thoughts of condemnation, oh, wretched man that I am. You ever feel like that? You didn't do what you're supposed to do, and you did what you wasn't supposed to do, and did. Then you got it all mixed up. And you say, oh, I'm not even acceptable to God. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And then he says, thanks be to God. He turned to the gospel. Thanks be to God that through Christ our Lord, so then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my inner nature a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know what condemnation means? It's in the Greek, in that first century, it was a word used for penal servitude. That is prison. The penal system, that you were a prisoner in servitude. In, as they used to say in the South, you were in the workhouse. Anybody ever hear that term? The workhouse, because and long ago in the South especially, you didn't go to jail and stay up in your cell and go out for exercise. No, you exercised 24/7. You worked. You were in the workhouse. You were out there, you know, busting rocks, digging canals, digging ditches. Now, maybe some of y'all, maybe sometimes our mothers feel like they're in a workhouse, right? Because you're always working. Never, it's never finished.
And then you feel guilty that you didn't finish it. This is not what God has called us to. And you know, in the workhouse, in penal servitude, you would never say, well, thank you. No, more rocks. You busted up those rocks. We got some more rocks for you to make little rocks out of big rocks. You were never approved. You never honored. There was no Mother's Day up in the big house. And you were a prisoner. And sometimes we can feel like we're prisoners of works. Works of any kind done out of servitude cannot do anything but produce condemnation. Notice verse 2 of Romans 8. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free. Now I'm going to explain what the Spirit does for us. It sets us free from the law of sin and death. You know what the law of sin and death are? Ten Commandments, the Old Covenant. Why? Because the people could not do it, no matter how hard they tried, and they tried year after year after year. And the harder they tried, the deeper they got in the hole, and the more condemnation they had. The law was designed to send them running to Christ, realizing that the old way would not work. But yet we still live by the law of sin and death, because the penalty of the law, or the penalty of breaking the law, is death. How do I know that we still live by that? Because I'm sure there's not a person sitting here does not suffer from time to time from condemnation, i.e. guilt and shame from having broken the law. And that if you woulda, coulda, you'd have done this, but you didn't, right? How many of you suffer from condemnation? The source of the condemnation is our human nature that believes that we could have done what was right, and our lives and our minds would be free. But the truth is, Paul said, the things that I want to do, I can't do them. And the things that I shouldn't do, I find myself doing. Now, if Paul, this super Pharisee, this super high character guy, couldn't do it, how do you think you could? And yet we still live under the law when we look back to the past and see our faults and our failures. And we are self-condemning. And the enemy comes in and finds fertile ground. Yeah, they did this and did that and they didn't measure up, and brings that to your mind, and you're living under condemnation because your work is never done. Because you can't go back and rework it. Works brings condemnation. The Spirit in Christ alone brings freedom. It's the only way. We act as if Christ never died and rose again. We act as if we could go back and fix it. You can't fix it. You know what that is? That's works. Isn't it? If I could go back and make another decision and live it over again, that's works. I'm telling you what I know, because I do that. And then we judge one another. Well, I didn't do that. And they did that. And we heap judgment and condemnation on one another. We're messed up. That's why Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to rescue me? I thank God for Jesus Christ. So now in Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. Mothers, is this freeing you? Men, sons of mothers, no matter how old you are, I hope you will find freedom in the gospel. And to make matters worse, you go back to the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned, we had double condemnation put on women. It wasn't just bad enough that we sinned. But what did Adam do? Right? He said, it was that woman you gave me. You know that woman? Not my wife. Not my darling. But that woman you gave me. So not only she has the condemnation for having broken God's law, they're hiding in the bushes, trying to cover the shame. Trying to cover with those fig leaves. You know about them fig leaves. See, our covering makes it worse. Get rashes in our conscience and all that won't heal. We got stuff that won't heal because we're trying to cover it rather than letting the blood of Jesus wash it away. So the woman, we have condemnation and guilt and shame put on her. He blamed Mother Eve. And women have been blamed ever since. Right? And I've heard many women say, why do they always blame the woman? You know why? It goes back to that. Because it's easier for the man to blame the woman than to have to deal with his own stuff and realize he can't deal with it and go to Jesus. So he goes to you, puts it on you. Right? Am I just preaching to myself today? Y'all get awfully quiet in this session, in this portion of the sermon. But you know who honored? You know the first Mother's Day, if you will, give me a little license here, was back after the fall, back as they were being expelled from Eden. God honored Eve. He said, and the seed, this is the good news, man. The gospel was first preached about and through Eve. And the seed of who? Mama. Mother will crush the head of the serpent and will crush condemnation, shame, and guilt coming through the one that the man tried to put the onus on, the guilt and the shame and the condemnation on. And God says, I got good news. It's going to be lifted through the woman that you blame. Isn't that good news? The seed of the woman. And Jesus, before he was born of a woman, the good news of him coming the first time in Eden was through Mama Eve, and then the fulfillment of that seed coming through Mama Mary. Mary, Mary, not the singing group, but Mama Mary. Good news. In Luke 1, I won't turn there, but in verse 30, the gospel is preached to Mary. And it says, you have found favor, not condemnation, in the eyes of the Lord. Not by what she had done or did not do or working from sun to sun. It was by grace. The word favor here, it could mean grace, which is unearned, unmerited favor and blessing. For condemnation is removed in Christ by grace alone, through faith alone. Because further down in verse 38, after the gospel's preached to her, after the angel says, after she said, this is impossible, I'm a virgin. She says, oh, nothing's impossible for God. And you know what she said? Well, we'll see about it.
No.
She said, let it be unto me as you have spoken. She believed God. So here we have, by grace, through faith, in Christ alone. And God honors Mary.
We could go down to Romans 8 when the woman was taken in adultery. I'm showing you man's condemnation of mama, and I am showing you God's liberation. See, people have, women's liberation. Now, this is the liberation in the gospel. Because all men can come up, or other women come up, with some more works. And that leads to condemnation. It doesn't work. Romans 8, 4, you know what happened there? They caught this woman in adultery. What does the law, Jesus, say about her? She should be stoned, right? They're trying to catch him in a trick. They didn't bring the man. Right? Caught in adultery with who? Again, blame the woman. Condemn her. Bring it to Jesus to be stoned. And Jesus started writing on the ground. Jesus knew about that little black book. He knew what was inside there. He knew the names. He knew the addresses and the times and all that. He started writing. Y'all work with me. That is not in scripture, but you know what I'm saying. He started writing something on the ground, and they said, ooh, let me shut my mouth. And they started walking away. And he says, where are your accusers? Where are your condemners? No, we're not. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Now, here's a woman, a sinner, and men who are sinners. Because he said, who is without sin? And I think he meant this kind of sin, too. My speculation. Let him be first to throw the first stone. Let him be first to throw the stone. Mm-mm. They walked away. He says, neither do I condemn you. Is she not guilty? Oh, yes. Jesus is not excusing the sin. In fact, he says, go and change your life. Go and sin no more. He's not excusing it. But he's announcing the gospel that in Christ there is now, what? No condemnation. That means for our sins too. No condemnation. You mean God's not mad at you about what you did back then or last week? No. He doesn't sit up in heaven with a big rock and would throw Stone Mountain down on him. Boom. No. He's not into stoning people. He sent his son not to condemn people, but to save them. That's the good news. To save sinners. Of which Paul said, I'm the chief. And then you know about the resurrection. The good news, he's alive. He's risen. It went to women. And he told the women, go tell them I'm alive. He honored them for a reason. You see, with God, Mother's Day is every day. Every day there's no condemnation. Every day there's honor. Every day there's honor instead of shame. This is the God that we serve. This is the good news. Let's go on. In chapter 8, and let's go to verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature. The law is powerless to do anything but to show you your sins and lead you to Jesus. Show you God's character, but you can't do it. I've mentioned this before. I'm going to read it to you again. To run, this is about the law. To run and work, the law commands. Right? And it's never done. To run and work, the law commands, yet gives me neither feet nor hands. But better news, good news, the gospel brings. It bids me fly and gives me wings. Gives me wings. You should run and not be weary. You should walk and not faint. He will mount you up with eagle's wings. The law cannot and will not ever be the source of our comfort, of our consolation, or absolution from our guilt. Onward now. He said this, weakened by sinful nature. God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering, to die for our sins, so the condemnation could be removed. And so He condemned sin in sinful man. Notice, He did not condemn the sinner, but condemn the sin in the sinner. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, He meets it. He fulfills it. He works hitherto. Hebrews says that. My Father works now and hitherto. Jesus said that. I'm sorry, not Hebrews. In the Gospels, Jesus said that. It's done for us. When He said it was finished, it was finished. But we want to go back. Or we try to do it ourselves. We can't do it. It's done. In order that the righteous requirement of the law may be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. The law brings bondage and death. It's the Spirit that gives life. What do we live in? What do you live in? What do I live in? You see, the Spirit does several things. I won't name them all. But the Holy Spirit makes us sons, not prisoners, not slaves in the workhouse. The Holy Spirit makes you a son. You say, well, why did it say daughter? Because I've explained before, it's about inheritance, and it went to the firstborn son, the double portion. Now, if you want to say, oh, okay, ladies, if you don't want the double portion, fine. But I'm telling you, it's a thing of honor. It's talking about a legal term of inheritance. So let's not change the Bible because you change the whole meaning of what God's trying to say. If you are male or female, black or white, Jew or Gentile, whatever, in Christ alone, you are firstborn and entitled to double portion. Now, it's important that we follow the Spirit in that. The Spirit speaks that against the condemnation. You're not a prisoner in striped suits. You are royalty in robes, not stinking, sweating, pinstripe work clothes, royal robes, shoes on your feet, crown on your head. That's who you are. Don't walk around like you 12 years a slave. Or however you're 50 years, 60, 7 years a slave. You're not that. You're free. And not just free with no assets. You are free with all the assets of the universe, for you are a son. Come with me to Romans 8. You're already there, but let's turn over verse 14. This is what the Spirit does. This is what the Spirit of life gives us. For you do not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, condemnation, working to be approved. You are approved. You are accepted. You are loved. That's your birthright. You didn't earn it. It's by grace through faith. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. We don't have to earn this intimate relationship with God. We say, Daddy, Daddy, we're in His bosom. We're in His arms. Intimacy with God. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit. He speaks to us that we're the children of God, not condemned. There's no condemnation here. There's honor here. Majesty. And if we're the children of God, then we are heirs of God, all that God owns. And you've got an equal share with Jesus. You say, well, I'm so far down the line. No, you are co-heirs with Christ. Can you imagine that? Equal shares with Jesus? That's honor. That's riches. That's glory. If indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. Folks, don't listen to your fallen mind. Listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to you as to who you are. God has not given you a spirit of fear and condemnation, but power and love and a sound mind. That's what He's given us. Mind of glory, not condemnation. A mind that says that you are righteous, not filled with shame and guilt. And the accuser of the brethren wants to lay that on you, but it's a lie. It's a lie. Believe the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I'm trying to set you free here. It's really God set you free. I'm just announcing the good news of your freedom, of who you are in Christ. Now, let's go to 1 John 3. You say, well, I still feel guilty sometimes. Well, that's false guilt. That's a lie. How can you be guilty with the righteousness of Jesus? See, you got to appeal to a higher authority than your mind and your conscience. You got to kick this up to the Supreme Court of heaven. I don't care what your lower court rules in your mind. Let's kick it on up. 1 John chapter 3. You got the love of God, the amazing love of God, who loves you and gave Himself for you through Jesus Christ. In verse 19, this then is how we know that we belong to the truth, not those lies in your mind. This is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we, notice, set our hearts, set your mind on things above. Set your hearts at rest in His presence. Not in the presence of your past memories and mistakes and your striving and feeling like you're unworthy and can't do enough to be accepted. Listen, set your hearts at rest in His presence. I like the song, Be Thou My Vision. See, you be my vision, not my past, not my sins, not my present. You be my vision. Be thou my vision. Notice, he says, set your hearts at rest in His presence. The line of that song says, O Lord of my heart. Who is the Lord of your heart? Your negative thoughts? Your feelings of inferiority? If He's the Lord of your heart, He says, this is the way it is, my child. And you believe Him, because it's all about the faith. The song says as well, not be all else to me. Nothing else to me means nothing. All that other stuff is zero. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. And that which He is, He's credited to us. Isn't that wonderful? He took all of our sin and shame and gave us His righteousness and glory. Hallelujah. Thou, my best thought. We need to think His thoughts about ourselves, not our thoughts about ourselves. Thou, my best thought, by day and by night, 24/7. Waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light. Not my dark past, but your presence, my light. He goes on to say, that is the Apostle John, whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts. And He knows everything. He knows everything you've done, all sins you're going to commit in the future. And He says, this is the truth about you. Isn't that wonderful? He said, the song says, be thou my wisdom. You know God. Be thou my true word. His word is truth. I ever with thee, and thou, Lord, with me. Thou, my great Father, I, thy true Son, thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. You're an heir. You are a queen, ladies. Mothers, you're queens. You're royalty, as I said before. Verse 21. Dear friends, if our hearts do condemn us, there's no condemnation in Christ. But if your heart does condemn you, we have confidence before God. We can stand before God. How many people can say that? Can you stand before the judgment seat of God? Oh, yes, you can. You know why? Because your judgment was taken out on Jesus. All your sins. So you can stand before Him innocent, righteous, and holy. Dear friends, if our hearts do condemn us, we have confidence before God. And we receive from Him everything we ask. Because we obey His commands. Oh, you see there, Pastor? You see? All that stuff, God blesses us because... See, you're still operating on the old covenant. You're reading that into the Scripture. You haven't read the whole thing. That, you know, you're blessed when you do what's right and you're cursed when you don't. Now, there's truth to that on a physical level. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about something that transcends the physical. We're talking about the eternal. We're talking about grace. You don't earn God's grace. I don't care how obedient you are. You're not under a curse. I don't care how many times you sin. You're not under a curse. You're under grace. You're not under the rock about to drop on your head. You don't have to live in that fear. And we receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands. Now watch this. And do what pleases Him. I thought He was pleased with us. Watch this. Read the next verse. And this is His command. To do or to believe? What does it say? To believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? You're blessed because you believe in what Jesus has done. And through that faith and living in who you are, a son of God, an heir, guess what you do? You do what He does. You know why you do it? Same reason birds fly. Because they're birds. You soar. Because now you're love. So therefore you love. Paul wrote in Galatians, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. The fruit of the faith that Christ lives in you and who you are is that you love one another. And now, the things that you're doing, you're not doing for approval. The good works that you do in the house or in the workplace or in relationship to one another is not done out of trying to earn approval, not trying to gain acceptance, or to make somebody love you. You do it because you are loved. You love because He first loved you. Now you are free, truly free, for the first time. Now your heart is a heart of a soul set free. You do it because you love your children. You do it because you love your husband. You love the brethren. You do a good job at work because you're free. And you're free to be who you are. A child of God that's loved. A child of God who's accepted. Therefore, the song says this. Be thou my dignity. Can't have a greater dignity than God. Now and always, thou and thou only, first in my heart. King, high King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. You see, I don't have to strive no more. The battle's won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven sun. Heart of my own heart. You have the heart of God now. Heart of my own heart.
Whatever befalls me. You're not even afraid of the future. Whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. You stand secure in the sovereignty of God. Mothers, there's now no condemnation in Christ. You have been approved. You are accepted. And you are loved by God in Christ alone. May your soul, may your spirit rejoice. May you rest in Him. Not working from sun to sun. For He finished the work and it is done. Father, we thank You so much for freeing us. And we don't have to live in condemnation. Thank You for Your amazing love. This is indeed is good news. Not just on Mother's Day, but now into eternity. Let us walk in the Spirit, not our flesh. Let us renounce the accusations of the enemy. And Holy Spirit, speak to us as to who we are and empower us to walk in that. We love You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.